It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Don Gagne. Tens of thousands of people are pouring back into southern Sudan. In anticipation, the region will choose independence in a referendum next month. The vote would split Africa's largest country and create the world's newest nation. But southern Sudan is desperately poor and underdeveloped. As NPR's Frank Langfitt reports, some people who've already gone back to the south wonder whether the would-be nation can handle many more returnees.
In the early years of Sudan's civil war, William Madoc's parents fled the fighting in South Sudan and settled in the northern capital of Khartoum. That was more than two decades ago. William wasn't even born. Although he spent his whole life in the north, he says he hates living there.
They tell us that we are heathens. I mean, we don't believe in one God, and at the same time they say that those people, they don't have the right to walk here.
Madoc, like many southern Sudanese, is a Christian African. Khartoum is an Arab Muslim city. Madoc says he and his friends are routinely harassed, even jailed, by police for things like un-Islamic dress, in this case, blue jeans. Madoc is an English major at a university in Khartoum. Although he's never actually seen South Sudan, he can't wait to move there.
It is better for us to go back to South Sudan and rebuild our own country, the country that there is a freedom of expression, freedom of choice, and also freedom to do whatever you want to like to do.
And what would you do there? Are there jobs?
Until now, I don't know whether there will be or not, but it is better. Even though if there is no job, I will feel okay there, because it is my land. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I will not wait even 1 minute.
Humanitarian organizations estimate that tens of thousands of people will flood into the south in the next few weeks. By most accounts, South Sudan isn't ready. Last month, 2,700 returnees came to Bentiu, the capital of oil-rich Unity State, and had to be housed in schools and disrupted classes. Others arrived in Juba, South Sudan's capital, and had to sleep on the ground, waiting for government help. On the edge of Juba are rapidly growing communities of returnees.
People who move from Khartoum to the south often end up in places like this. It's a community called Gudeli West. About 4 or 5 years ago, there were just 500 families here. Now there are 4,000. But there are no services. There's no electricity, no water, no sewer. And most people just live in mud huts with these iron roofs that shimmer in the sun. Many of them have found that life is a lot tougher than they expected it would be.
Sabat Abdullah Batali worked as a driver for an aid organization in Khartoum. After North and South Sudan signed a peace deal in 2005, he was among the hundreds of thousands who decided to come to Juba. Except for a brief stint as a driver soon after he arrived, Batali hasn't worked in years.
Life in Khartoum was better because I was working. Here in the south, I'm in my homeland. But the government doesn't care about us. We are waiting. How is the government of the south going to handle us? We are waiting for that moment.
After two decades of war and neglect, South Sudan has little infrastructure. It's nearly the size of Texas, but has few paved roads. Juba University, the South's best school, is so overcrowded, students have to lug their own water and pack 15 to a dorm room. Sabat Batali lives in a house made of mud and wood he built by hand. Asked how he pays for food, his eyes well up. He says he begs.
I have brothers and friends where I used to work. When I see them, they give me $10 or $20. Anytime I meet someone, I ask for help. That's how I survive.
Batali isn't unusual. Officials in Gudeli West say unemployment there is 90%. Those who have jobs often must create their own, whether it's gathering firewood or using a gas-powered generator to charge people's cell phones.
The community grows every day.
Isaac Amin Cormelio serves as secretary for Gudeli West. He says the community can't handle more people.
We have nothing to give them unless what we can give them is just we show them that this place, you can stay here. But we have nothing in hand as community to supply to them.
On several occasions, I tried to talk to the southern government's Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs about their plans for returnees. The ministry never made anyone available. Isaac Cormelio says the government encouraged people to return to the south for the referendum. Now, he says, southern officials have a responsibility to help returnees build new lives here. Frank Langfitt, NPR News.